Okay, welcome everyone. Thank you for coming out to our session today on Service Manager 2012. I'm Travis Wright. I'm one of the program managers on the System Center team. I'm joined by Mark Umeno and Ketan Gailani. And we're really excited to show you guys some of the new functionality that we have in System Center. In particular, we're going to spend most of our time in Service Manager today. We're also going to show you how, through Service Manager's service catalog, extending out through Orchestrator, we can automate things all around System Center and all through the data center. So let's go ahead and get started. Got an action-packed session here today that's going to get started by advancing the slides. Ah, wrong mouse. All right. So first, we're just going to go through a quick introduction of the concepts of the service catalog, the infrastructure behind Service Manager, and kind of how that all ties together, and what the purpose of having a self-service portal is, what the purpose of having a service catalog is, and so on. We're going to talk about these concepts of standardization, self-service, and automation. We're going to talk about a kind of a high-level solution architecture of how this all works. And then we'll actually go through and step-by-step explain how you can set up self-service automation using Service Manager and Orchestrator and the rest of the System Center suite. And I just want to point out that the session title for this session is Automated Request Offerings in Six Steps. It's not six clicks, okay? There's a big difference, all right? I just want to make sure we're setting expectations. Service Manager with the Service Catalog makes setting up self-service portals and prompting users for the information that's required and passing that through into the orchestrator and then automating it. It makes it all much easier than if you were to write it all by hand using code, okay? But it still takes a little bit of a learning curve to get used to the concepts and how to do it. But once you've done it a couple times, you'll get the pattern of how it's done, and then it's just simply a matter of repeating that pattern over and over again. So there will be many more than six clicks today, but it is sort of broken down into six logical steps that we will explain. All right. So first of all, you've probably seen this slide through some of the sessions here at MMS. And you know, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about what's going on here, but the point of this slide, at least in the context of this session, is that Service Manager is one of the self-service interfaces that we have in the System Center suite, where it exposes the service catalog to service consumers. So they can go up and they can request different things. Could be that they want to be added to a particular group in Active Directory, they want to provision a VM, they've got a new user they need to onboard, they want to change the size of a mailbox. It could be really anything. Could be scenarios that are oriented around clients, could be scenarios oriented around the data center. Service Manager is also one of the key components of what we call service delivery and automation. So service delivery and automation encompasses things like IT service management, managing the services that you're offering to your customers, and then also automating things. So Service Manager has built-in workflow engines we'll talk about that, and they'll allow you to automate a lot of the things that are going on. And we're also going to touch on Orchestrator today, which is also a way that you can automate things inside the data center. So when we think about these three concepts, these are like the three things we really want to hammer home, that this is what Service Manager and the rest of the System Center suite and, you know, sort of light up in terms of value, okay? So when we think about standardization, what we're thinking about here is, as an IT organization, first you want to standardize and think about what services you're offering to your customers. So we could think about things like we provide a messaging service which includes email and link. We provide maybe user identity management, and that includes things like FIM, Active Directory, and so on. We might have line of business application services that we provide, and so on. So really, the first thing we need to do is just identify what services are we offering. And then for each of those services that we offer, there's a number of different request offerings that we want to make available to people. So for example, within the messaging service, for example, we might have some request offerings like request a new mailbox, request a bigger mailbox, move a mailbox. These are all things that people might want to request and that we would want to make available through a self-service portal. But we want to standardize these things. And so to do that, we first need to identify what the process is for fulfilling those types of requests. So in the case of maybe like a move mailbox, somebody is going to make the request. They're going to indicate which mailbox needs to be moved and which server it needs to be moved to, for example. And then we're going to define the process. The process is that we want to first have somebody review and approve this. And maybe we'll have a manual activity where somebody verifies that the space is available on the target server or something like that. And then we might have an automated activity which takes the information provided by the user and actually moves the mailbox from one Exchange server to the other. That's our process, and it's a standardized thing. So now every time somebody requests a move of a mailbox, we're going to do it in the exact same way every time. And then we do all this by codifying it in a template. And a template is a way for us to capture the information from the user, map it into something, have it be categorized the same way, have it be related to the same configuration items each time, have the same activities defined in the process each time, have the same approvers, et cetera. So that every time somebody creates a request of that type, we create it from this template. And that way it's the same every single time. Now, in terms of self-service, what we want to do here is we want to allow people to make the request themselves. Okay, so we don't want to have people calling up the service desk or sending an email or something like that, because first of all, calling the help desk is inefficient. Nobody wants to do that. Okay? Second of all, if somebody's sending in an email or you're having some conversation in Link or something, the data that you're capturing is unstructured, so it can't be used for automation. So we want to set up a self-service interface where somebody can go and request that, provide the exact information, that way they don't have to call the service desk. The exact information that we need is captured, and it's captured in a way which we can actually use because it's structured data. And when somebody goes to the service catalog, we want to make sure that people see the right types of requests depending upon their job role. So somebody in HR, for example, might have permission to view a request offering around onboarding a new employee, but everybody else in the organization wouldn't see that because that's not their job role. There's no point in them seeing that. So we want to make sure that these request offerings we put up on the service catalog are grouped together and then granted to people based on their user role in the system. And then lastly, once somebody makes that request, we want them to be able to, in a self-service way, view the status of that request. We don't want people calling up the service desk and saying, "Are you done? Are you done? Are you done?" Right? We want them to just be able to go and hit a portal and see that it's done, or we want to send them a notification when we're done. And we also want to provide even more detail than that, not just done, not done. We want to see exactly which step in the process they're at. And we want to also allow them to be able to provide additional information. So if we request additional information from the user, they should be able to go to the self-service portal and provide that additional information. Now lastly, we have automation. And automation is really all about eliminating as many steps in the process as possible that are manual. So we want to automate things like moving the mailbox from Exchange from one server to the other. We want to automate the process of provisioning a virtual machine. People shouldn't have to go into GUIs to do these types of things. The information should be provided. We should go through whatever approvals, maybe potentially some manual steps, but as much as possible, we want to automate. And Service Manager also enables things like automated notifications. So periodically along the way in the process, we can notify the user of what's going on. So we might notify them, "Hey, we've received your request." Then we might notify them that their request has been approved. And then we can notify them at the end that their request has been completed. We could also automate the notification of the approvers and say, "Hey, you've got something that's ready for you to review and approve now." So what are some of the benefits that we derive from doing these things? First of all, in the area of standardization, we achieve compliance with our policies. So most customers are subject to different types of industry or government regulations. And what we want to do is we want to codify those policies into our process. So if a certain type of request requires approval from, let's say, a GM or a VP, then we codify into our process the approval that's required from that person, and we capture it, and then it becomes documented in our system, and that helps us be compliant with our process. That's just one example of it, right? We also get increased reliability. Because we're doing the exact same process over and over and over again, over time, we sort of iron out the bugs in our process and our systems, and it becomes a more repeatable procedure, and we therefore have more reliability because we're doing it over and over the same way. And lastly, we provide simplicity of choice. So we don't want to overwhelm a user that's making a request with, you know, hundreds of request offerings with many different options on them, okay? Because that's just too much. People want to have a simplified user interface. They want to choose from A, B, or C. Make it simple, right? So when we standardize these things, people don't worry about all the different, you know, switches and knobs and that kind of thing. We just make it a standardized offering, and they can choose red, yellow, or blue, or whatever it might be that we want to offer to them. In terms of self-service, we get increased customer satisfaction because the customers don't have to call the help desk. Things happen faster because they can go and input the information directly. There's less back and forth going on between the IT department and the customer. Things don't get lost in translation, right? So we don't have somebody calling up and, you know, whether it's the language barrier or the audio quality on the phone is bad or whatever it might be, we capture the user's exact input and get that stored in the system. And we also reduce our costs through self-service. It doesn't make any sense to have one person call up another person and have the person that's taking the call ask the user some questions and type in their responses into a form. That's just stupid. Why would we do that, right? We want to have people filling this stuff out, and that way we only have one person doing it. Okay, and then lastly, in terms of automation, we can have faster time to delivery. Okay, so when we automate these processes, we're not waiting for Bob to get out of his meeting or get back from his vacation in Hawaii. We automate that portion of his job so that we can do it regardless of what time of day it is or whether Bob's around or not. We also minimize human error. You know, Bob's a great guy, but every once in a while he fat fingers something and that causes a problem. If we can automate things, then we don't have those types of human errors. And lastly, we reduce costs because Bob doesn't have to go and do that. That's all automated by the system. We can have Bob go and do something else, which is more valuable to the company. So let's talk a little bit about how the architecture of Service Manager enables these three things. First, we start with the Service Manager CMDB. The Service Manager CMDB is the central data store for Service Manager, and in a sense, all of System Center, because it brings in data from all the other System Center components into one central CMDB. We store those configuration items like computers and databases and websites and things like that in this CMDB. And we can then relate the work items that we're doing, so things like incidents or change requests or service requests, to those configuration items so we know exactly which configuration items we're doing that work on and what impact that might have. So that enables standardization. The service catalog also enables standardization because we provide these standardized request offerings to the users on that service catalog. And we standardize our process by codifying things into workflows inside of Service Manager and in Orchestrator. And we also codify these things in templates. And we'll see all of this a little bit later on today, and you'll kind of see exactly what these concepts are in action. The self-service interfaces, we have a bunch of different interfaces, right? So we've got people can go to the self-service portal, which is a SharePoint site. Caitlin will talk about more about what that looks like, but they access it through a browser. They can interact with Service Manager through email, and also through their mobile device, again, using email, they can interact with Service Manager and approve change requests and reject them and mark things that are assigned to them as completed and even submit incidents from their phone and so on. And lastly, new in Service Manager 2012, we now have what I would call self-service BI. So somebody can go to a SharePoint document library, for example, that has a bunch of Excel workbooks on it that are connected up to the Service Manager data warehouse cubes, and they can do self-service data analysis using Excel pivot tables and slice and dice the data to get to whatever they want, sort of an ad hoc reporting. And then they can save that back to the SharePoint document library and somebody else can access it. So we can sort of collaborate on our data analysis. And lastly, at the automation layer, we've got lots of connectors out to the other System Center components. We've got a connector to Active Directory. And through Orchestrator, we can actually connect up to other third-party management tools like HP or IBM and so on. So we can actually automate lots of other things outside of the scope of System Center as well. So for the context of our, the rest of the session today, we're going to talk about these six steps. The six steps are to import data into Service Manager, and then build our request offerings, publish them to the service catalog. And that's something that we do one time for each type of request offering that we want to create. At that point, when somebody goes to create a request based on that request offering, they create it from the self-service portal. That then typically would invoke a runbook in Orchestrator. And then we would monitor for the completion of that request. And that's sort of a continuous cycle that happens each time somebody goes and creates a request. So for the context of our session today, we're going to take the classic automation of provisioning a virtual machine. We've seen this sort of concept a lot, but it's one that just everybody gets, and really the purpose isn't really to show you how to automate provisioning virtual machines. The purpose is to show you how to build up automated service delivery from the ground up. So that for the import step today, we're going to show you how to import Virtual Machine Manager data into the Service Manager CMDB, and how to import Orchestrator runbooks into Service Manager. And then we're going to show you how to build a request offering to allow people to request these virtual machines. And then we're going to show you how to publish that to the service catalog. And then we'll actually go through the cycle of creating a request to provision a virtual machine, invoke a runbook in Orchestrator to automatically provision it, and then we'll monitor for it to be completed. So now we're going to go into the import data section here, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we do this, right? So we start with Service Manager, and then we have a bunch of connectors that we provide out of the box to other System Center components. One of them is to Virtual Machine Manager. The Virtual Machine Manager connector brings in what I would call library content. So things like service templates, virtual machine templates, storage classifications, load balancers, et cetera, we bring all of that type of stuff into the Service Manager CMDB. And later on, you'll see how this is actually beneficial, because now when somebody goes to request a virtual machine from our self-service portal, we can actually present a list of virtual machine templates that they can choose from to provision a virtual machine. So the reason we get that into the Service Manager CMDB is so we can drive the user experience on the self-service portal. The next connector is Operations Manager. Now, Operations Manager and Service Manager actually share a common technology foundation. They share the exact same data model. Any Operations Manager management pack which is out there that discovers and monitors anything, whether it's a SQL Server, Exchange Server, whatever, you can take that same management pack and import it into Service Manager. And all of the discovered inventory that Operations Manager finds will automatically flow into the Service Manager CMDB. So this would include things like servers, clients, databases, websites, Exchange servers, any of that kind of thing will flow into Service Manager. And once you have that rich set of inventory available to you in the CMDB, you can present those objects on the self-service portal as part of a request offering form. The next one is Configuration Manager. So Configuration Manager, we sync in the computers that Config Manager is managing, the hardware on those computers, the software on those computers, software updates. And we also bring in a special relationship, which is the computer primary user relationship. So Config Manager can detect who the most frequent user of a computer is, and we store that in Service Manager automatically as the primary user of that computer. And that's useful when somebody goes up to the self-service portal. We may want to present to them a list of computers which we know they're the primary user of, and then they can simply check off which one they're maybe having a problem with, for example. We also have a connector to Active Directory. That brings in users, groups, printers, and computers. Obviously very useful, again, in the context of self-service. The Orchestrator connector is a little bit special. The Orchestrator connector does a couple things. The first one is that it brings in runbooks into Service Manager. So when you define a runbook inside of Orchestrator, you can bring that into Service Manager so that Service Manager then knows about it, and you can include what we call a runbook automation activity work item in your process for fulfilling things like a service request or an incident. And that will allow you to, within the context of that process, call out to Orchestrator and trigger that runbook and pass it some information. Orchestrator also allows you to sync data in from other systems into Service Manager using the Service Manager integration pack for Orchestrator. So if you want to maybe query some existing database that you have, which has, I don't know, maybe a list of network devices or something like that in it, you want to query that, and for each row that's returned, you want to insert a network device object into Service Manager, you can use the Service Manager integration pack activity for that. Some other options for getting data into Service Manager are CSV file data imports. So in this case, you create a CSV data file, you create what we call a mapping file that tells us which column goes to which property in the Service Manager database, and then you can import that data. That can be done one time, or you can set it up to run on a schedule. You can create custom connectors using our SDK, or we also have PowerShell commandlets that allow you to insert data into Service Manager. So most of you are probably familiar with Orchestrator already, so I'm not going to spend... How many people are familiar with Orchestrator? All right, people get these concepts, right? So I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about these concepts, but they're very important in the context of automating service delivery using Service Manager, because we want to create these runbooks in Orchestrator, and we want to trigger them from Service Manager. Okay, so these are the integration pack activities, or integration packs that we provide with Orchestrator. We've got all the System Center 2012 integration packs are available now. We've got the new Active Directory integration pack. We've got integration packs for a number of other third-party management systems, and we've got more on the way. Or you can build your own integration pack. So you can create your own custom runbook activities that do whatever you like, and you can then import those into the Orchestrator and use them inside of the designer. And there's also a number of community integration packs that have been developed and are available on CodePlex. So with that, let's just do a quick demo of... what this all looks like here. So this is on the demo machine. All right, so to start out here, let's just go look at the administration workspace in Service Manager. And this is the connectors view that we see here. There we go. All right. So there's the... a list of connectors that we've created. So we've got connectors out to Ops Manager, Config Manager, Active Directory, is our Orchestrator connector, and so on. So just to give you an idea of what this looks like, these connectors are very easy to configure. You just go through a simple wizard. In this case, for the Orchestrator connector, we prompt you for a name for that connector. Then we ask you for the Orchestrator web service URL. So in this case, you just provide the URL to that web service. In other connectors, we prompt you for a server name in the case of Ops Manager, a database server name in the case of Config Manager, etc. And then we ask you for which credentials we should use to connect to, in this case, the web service. And then in each wizard, there's a page where we prompt you for what the scope is of the data that we should bring in. In the case of the Orchestrator connector, we ask you which folder of runbooks we should bring in case you want to choose maybe just a subset of your runbooks. In the case of the Config Manager connector, we ask you for which collections you want to sync. And then in some of the wizards, we have some other configuration options. For example, here in the Orchestrator connector, we prompt you for the Orchestrator website URL. And that's used, as you'll see later on, to launch from the context of Service Manager directly into the Orchestrator web console to view the status of runbooks that have been triggered from Service Manager. So these connectors are very easy to set up. And once you set them up, it starts to automatically populate and continuously keep the CMDB up to date. So just to give you an idea of some of the data that's brought in, we're now in the configuration items workspace inside of Service Manager. And we could take a look at, for example, virtual machine templates. Okay, so here's all the virtual machine templates that we have over in Virtual Machine Manager. And we've synced those into the Service Manager CMDB now. And you'll see later how we present a list of these virtual machine templates to the user to request a virtual machine from. We've also got, for example, virtual machines. This list of virtual machines comes from Operations Manager. So the integration between Operations Manager and Virtual Machine Manager will populate a list of all of the virtual machines that VMM is managing into the Operations Manager database. And then the Operations Manager database connection to Service Manager will bring those virtual machines into Service Manager. So once we have all this data inside of the CMDB, that then helps us drive our automation. And we'll see that here in a little while. Now, one other thing that I want to point out to you is the runbook that we've created ahead of time. So we created this runbook ahead of time so that just in terms of saving time. And I'm just going to walk through the configuration of this runbook so you understand the concepts of how to set this up. Now, every runbook that you want to trigger from Service Manager should start with an initialized data activity. The initialized data activity is a part of the runbook control integration pack down here. So we just drug initialized data onto the design surface here. And we defined two input parameters. So this is information that will be passed from Service Manager to Orchestrator at the time that we initiate the runbook. And in this case, we're passing the virtual machine name that the user wants to have. And we're going to pass the runbook activity ID. That's RBA ID. All right, so that's going to be the ID of the runbook activity work item inside a Service Manager. And we're going to pass that into Orchestrator. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to go and get the virtual machine template that the user selected, which will be related to the runbook activity work item in Service Manager. And to do that, we just connect up to Service Manager, tell Orchestrator that we want to get a runbook automation activity object, and we're going to pass the runbook activity GUID that we passed in from initialized data. We're going to use that as our criteria. And then we're going to get the virtual machine template that's related to it. Once we have the virtual machine template GUID, we're then going to use that to go and get the virtual machine template object out of the Service Manager CMDB so we have access to all of the properties of that virtual machine template. So in this case, we're simply taking the GUID that we get back from this activity and going back to Service Manager and getting the exact virtual machine template that we want to use. And then we're doing the exact same thing here, except in this case, we're going to go and get the cloud that the user wants to deploy the virtual machine on. Exactly the same thing. We get the cloud GUID, we go and get the cloud object, and then we call create VM from template, which is an activity which calls out to Virtual Machine Manager and creates the virtual machine, specifies the name of the virtual machine that was passed in, and specifies which cloud to deploy it on and which virtual machine template to use. Okay, so here's the configuration of that. So we're going to deploy it on a cloud. We specify which cloud to deploy it on, the virtual machine name, and the virtual machine template to use. All right, so let's go back to the PowerPoint now. Okay, so we're done with the import step. Hopefully you have a better idea of kind of what it means to import the data. We're going to get this data from all these different sources into our CMDB so we can then use that as we build our request offerings. And so with that, I'm going to bring up Mark Umeno. He's going to show you how to build these request offerings and publish them to the service catalog.
Hello, everyone. I think you can hear me. Okay, so let's talk about how to build a request offering, given that information that's been imported in from Orchestrator and Virtual Machine Manager. In Service Manager, we have templates for the work items. So that enables you to have repeatable processes, right? So there's default values for the ticket that gets created, the service request that gets created. We have repeatable activities in a certain series of steps. Okay, and you can use that to create any kind of work item. And in this case, we're going to make a service request in this demo. And then there's the request offering. So a request offering, Travis mentioned in general, right? So the idea is that IT offers services to their users, right? You offer your services to your users, and you want to do that in a standardized way, right? And so that's based on that template that I just described. So in this demo that we're going to do, it's going to be based on a service request template, right? And in this form, you'll see in the demo that you'll be able to define what text you, sh- you show to the users and the different kind of data inputs that you support, and then map that into the service request itself, okay, the actual request that's coming from a user. One of the key capabilities that we provide here, right, for you to use is the ability to go back and query those objects that are stored in the CMDB and offer them through the portal and then land those objects back down to the request, right? So in this case, you'll have a VM template and a cloud to select, and then those will be the values from those can be used in the automation, all right? So, okay, so that's kind of what we have to do to build. It's a lot easier to explain when you're actually going through the demo, so we'll just kind of see a lot of the details, and we'll go through some of the details in the demo. Okay, so once you have a request offering built, then you want to publish it in a service offering, okay? So a service offering is a container of requests, right, that are offered for a specific subject. So Travis had mentioned before, say you have an email service that is for your users, then requests against that might be increase the size of your mailbox, give a user a mailbox, maybe deprovision a user from having a mailbox, things like that, right? And you want to contain that within one service offering. These service offerings can also supply additional data for the users, like what knowledge articles about the service, some service level agreement information, and maybe some details about chargeback or something, right? Okay. So one of the things that Service Manager provides through the service catalog is the ability to scope what users see depending on their role. So we have built this to work with Active Directory groups. Most of you have that, or hopefully almost all of you have that. And so within Active Directory groups, you scope a user role, scope a set of users using an Active Directory group, and then say you have these service offerings available to them or a specific subset of those request offerings, right? Both of these things are possible, okay? So now let's just get into the demo and go through a lot of these steps in the product itself. So we're back in the Service Manager interface over here, okay? And now I'll go to the library workspace, which is where we author content for Service Manager, all right? And the Orchestrator connector has synced with Orchestrator and imported a set of runbooks that are mapped, these runbook objects, which are mapped to the actual runbooks in Orchestrator, all right? For this demo, we're going to use the Create VM from Template runbook that Travis showed you in Orchestrator. And let's look at the properties of that guy. So on the General tab, you see there's a path where the folder is within Orchestrator, and then the input parameters that he showed you on the initialized data object. Okay, so Service Manager's connector only syncs in the runbooks that have the initialized data. So if you have the monitoring object thing to start a runbook, then those don't get synced in. It's only the ones where we proactively kick off the runbooks from Service Manager. Okay. And what I can do here is create a runbook automation activity which can be used in the service request template and then in the service request template then it will be offered through the request offering. Right? So let's create this runbook automation activity. Let's say MMS demo RBA so we can find it. And this is stored in a management pack, so that you can export it and import it later into, say, from a pre-production environment, you might author these things and export them and import them back into a production environment, for example. Okay, so that launches an activity template form for the runbook activity. So let's give it a name. Maybe the area, which is, say, infrastructure, because you're requesting VMs, a release stage. And we'll assign it to the administrator. Okay, and then I check this box is ready for automation, and that enables the runbook. So there might be cases in which you want to do some testing of just the ticket workflow without actually kicking off the runbook, right? So this is a way where you can control that. So for now, though, for this demo, we'll just leave it in that state. Now let's move over to the runbook tab. Okay, and down here you see the two parameters that were on the input parameters of the initialized data activity. VM name and runbook activity ID. Okay, the top one, VM name, will just be we'll just pass that through. For the runbook activity ID, we need to map it to the object GUID of the runbook automation activity. So I'll go up to object and select the ID. So that's the runbook GUID, and so that'll get passed on through into as an input into Orchestrator. Okay, and with that, I can save it. Okay, so now we've created a runbook activity template. So now let's go and create a service template to kind of house the full ticket workflow, the full workflow here. So for that, we'll move down to the template. And then click Create Template. We'll say Service request. Okay, and then I'll pick the service request class here, and let's store that in the same management pack. So that's that one that I was using, I think. So this is opening up the service request form. Okay, it's a little bigger. Okay, so let's say request VM. That's good. Request VM. Let's fill out some of the values that will be pre-populated in every request that's created. Again, I'll assign it to administrator. And here in the activities tab is where we actually define the process. So in this service request process, I'll have an approval step and then an execute step, okay? So we'll go and find a review activity as the first one. So if we open that up, you can see that this is the review activity that's standard throughout Service Manager. So we need an approve request. And we'll say that the administrator has to approve that. And that's it. And so now I've added the review activity step. And in the next step, I'll add the runbook activity that we just authored, which is, what did I call it? Oh, it's at the bottom. Oh, there it is. Okay, I just missed it. Okay. And since we filled it out ahead of time, I think I can just hit okay. All right, so now we've created the service request template. Okay, now the last thing to do in the build part is to build the actual request offering. So let's move over to the service catalog area. Look at request offerings. And then click Create Request Offering. And now I'm in a wizard experience. Call it Request VM. I can supply an image, but for time purposes, I won't do that. Request a VM. And here, I'll just select the template that we just used. Created there. Same management pack. Okay, now we're going to ask for three things. We're going to ask for the VM name. All right, and we'll leave that as a text response because it can be any string. The next one will ask for a VM template, right? And for that one, we'll actually pick, and you can see over here, there's many different options for answers, right? So there's a date, decimal, file attachment, integer, a list, which is a dropdown. It's our word for dropdown, true, false. So in this case, I want to pick query results, which is the way that you go back and query into the CMDB and bring the objects back. Okay, And we'll do all the so we have to look. We ask for which cloud to fill in, and I'll do the same thing. Go for query results there too. Okay, so now I've defined the prompts. Now I want to configure the prompt. So here's where we'll configure access into the CMDB objects. Okay, so this is a dialog. I have to pick the right class. So for VM template, I can pick the VM template class. Okay, I don't need any additional further criteria, and then just need to pick display columns. You can show the name of it and how many CPUs, how much memory with the OSs, and the size. And down here, this is a very important step in the options part. I'm going to have the object that the user selected as a related item on the runbook activity. So that'll attach the selected item as a related item on the service request ticket under the runbook automation activity. Okay? And then we'll do the same thing for cloud. So that's VMM's name for cloud. We'll just go for its display name and maybe how much quota is available. And then again, I'll attach it as a related object to the runbook automation activity. Okay, and here I want to map the text prompt into the runbook automation activity input for VM name. So you type in the VM name. It flows through onto the runbook automation activity in the service request. Okay. If I want to add knowledge articles, I can do that. And then the last thing I need to do is in a state of published. Okay. So now we, once this is done, we'll have built the request offering. And then the last thing I need to do is publish it to a service offering. Okay. So we'll wait for this to complete. Busy doing things. Does it look done? Click other things. Yeah. Hey, it's done. Okay. So now it's saved. And the reason why it took a while is because it wrote into the management pack. So it's using a process that kind of takes a little bit longer. Okay. And then there's a bunch of different service offerings. Let's add this to the cloud infrastructure service offering. Okay, and I can just click Add Request Offering. What do I call it? Request VM. I think this is the one that we just did. Click OK. Okay, now it should be published out to the service catalog. Should I check? Okay, now I'll wait. Okay, so that's it. So now we've built a request offering and published to the service offering. I believe now it's time for Kate to go and talk about the creator request. Here you go.
So let's see if I can create service requests after that. So before I do that, let's just do a couple things here, just a couple slides. Simplified portal. So how many of you have actually seen the service manager portal in your environment so far? Wow, quite a few. Okay, quite a few. About a third of you guys, and that's, probably you have access to the pre-release bits, and also we announced GA, so you have access to some of that already. So that's good. And how many of you actually think that you're going to actually integrate that into your SharePoint portals that you have in your environments? Okay, about a third again. So that's very good. So I think one of the things that we have done with Service Manager really is putting the portal in SharePoint, enabling you to customize and integrate in your environment. So it's an easy-to-use portal. You know, with Silverlight Web Parts, we can still provide rich experience and familiar SharePoint user experience. And I'm pretty sure most of you, if not all of you, have SharePoint in your environment. So you can customize, have easy to basically customize your look and feel, just the regular SharePoint customizations that you can do. You can have, the other thing actually is very key is what you saw Mark actually do, a request offering. He actually just entered some questions. We will actually see on the portal, it's dynamically rendered those questions. We will see when in the demo how we dynamically render those questions in the portal. You don't have to write any code to render those questions anywhere in the portal. And is also extensible via custom web parts. So you can actually write your own custom web parts and add it to our portal too. So that's another way to look at it. So from a portal perspective, if you look at it as a two, the model, if you look at it, is provider, published, and customer initiated. So basically you have, you know, service catalog admins or authors are publishing to the portal their service offerings or request offerings. And consumer, like me in this case, would be able to consume those request offerings and create service requests. Again, then I don't have to go and call service desk. The forms are customized to exactly what I need to fill in versus you know, all extraneous informations. Again, I'll only see what I have access to. So again, it's very, very simple from that perspective. And expresses IT requests in a business language. So if you see when Mark did was basically he said he put an approval step and he put an automated activity step. You could have actually more steps in there which are running in parallel. We have, you know, support for parallel and sequential activities also in Service Manager so that you can do a little more complex processes also in your side. So you can express that in your business language. And you'll have consistent delivery and service in each time. Basically, once you have automated and your automation is running, you can expect to have a consistent SLA or consistent SLO that you can meet with your businesses, okay? So now let's look at creating the portal. So we'll go to the demo machine. Okay. I'm gonna refresh it. I think you added in a different one, let's see. So you can see that earlier we didn't have the dinner now. If we only had a dinner now, we didn't have a cloud infrastructure. When I refreshed it, since Mark added a request VM within the cloud infrastructure service offering, that now came up as a service offering. So you can see that you can have a different categories of the service offerings. In this case, you have data center offerings and you have enterprise applications category. And within those, you'll see different request offerings that are there part of that. The other part of the portal you can see also is that you have your, you know, basically left nav that you can actually extend if you needed to add more links. You have my requests and my activities where I would see if I need to approve something, I'll see in my activities, or I need to complete something, I'll see in my activities. In my request, I'll see any request that I've created from an incident perspective that I am affected user of, and help articles in terms of any help articles that they may have published for me to look at, you know, just from an enterprise perspective. You can also customize. You can see that in this case it's logged as Mark in this case, but you can see the person who's locked in here, and also change the language depending on the person, the locale you want on. And you can see a different category view or list view. So you have a category view, and then you have a list view, very simple list view or category view. So all that is, again, SharePoint functionality that we have extended with some of the web parts that we provided. So I'm going to go ahead and click on cloud infrastructure. So this is actually gives you details about the service offering itself. In this case, if there is more details about the service offering, you could put that in here. And the additional help articles, if they were available for the service offering, it would be there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a request VM, click on the request VM, and then it again gives you details about the request offering itself. if there were any related service offerings, other related service offerings, or help articles would appear here. Now I'm going to go to the form. Okay, so here I can provide a name, right? I can say, again, it tells you kind of what a value must be entered if it's in a required field here. And it's a text field, so I can enter anything here. I'm going to enter MMS demo. And then it asks me for the templates. Now, in this case, I could select different templates that are available. In this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to select the SQL templates, the SQL template that's there. And then I want to select the cloud I want to deploy to. Again, just from a, I can also search, right? It'll tell me the development cloud that I'm looking for. I can search that, and I can select the development cloud that I want to deploy this VM to. I click Next. In here. That's the feedback we've already got. So now, if you go into when you basically gives you summary information, again, it's a step-by-step information that it gives you the summary information. You provide that, and you submit the request. Again, very simple. You saw the form. You saw it was dynamically generated query that was there, and I would was able to produce the list from the CMDB onto the portal without any coding. It was very simple. So I hit submit the service request, and there you go. I can see the service request. And now when I go to the portal, I can see my service request or the status of the service request that's there. With that, I'm going to, as you can see that, it's there. It's in new state right now. And you can we'll see that there are two activities in there. One is approve request and the create VM in there. There are two steps in there for the service request. Okay, with that, I'm going to back to the slides here, and I'm going to hand over to Travis to take you to the rest of the stuff on how creating the VM.
All right, thanks, Caitlin. It's kind of funny to see Caitlin getting a little rusty on Service Manager. He's been working on another project for the last few months, so.
Thank you, Travis.
All right. So, okay, now we're going to talk about invoke and monitor. So, a couple quick slides here. Okay, the way that invoke works is that when the runbook activity work item becomes active in the process inside of that service request, that's the point at which we're going to call out to the orchestrator web service, and we're going to pass the input parameters, in this case, the virtual machine name, and the runbook activity work item GUID into that runbook, and then the runbook will execute and do its thing. And Service Manager will monitor the execution of that runbook, and it'll provide the status of it to us, okay? So when we call out to Orchestrator, from there, we can go and hit all kinds of things. We can hit all the rest of the System Center components using the integration packs that are provided for those components. Or we can call out to line of business applications using either the generic integration pack activities like the SQL ones or web service calls, things like that. Or we can write our own custom integration pack activities to interact with our line of business applications. And we can use the integration packs for third-party management tools as we were talking about earlier. Now, in terms of monitor, there's a few different ways we can monitor for the completion of things. So within the context of Service Manager, we can view the status of the work items inside of the work item forms in the Service Manager console. And from that context, where we have a runbook activity work item form, I'll show you how you can just jump right from there into the Orchestrator web console to see the details of the execution of that runbook inside of Orchestrator. And we also have the opportunity to retry failed workflows. So if a runbook activity fails for some reason, the status of that runbook activity work item will be marked as failed. And then we can just right-click on that activity and say return to activity, and that'll set the status of it back to in progress, and it'll trigger the Orchestrator runbook again. So if there was some, you know, maybe intermittent problem or something that's now been resolved, you can reinitiate that runbook with the exact same parameters. We can also monitor progress by looking in the Orchestrator UI. So we can go into the Orchestrator web console, for example, and we can drill down to the activity level. We can actually see each little activity inside of that runbook and what its input and outputs and what its status is. And we can view a history of the execution of these runbooks in the Orchestrator web console as well. We can also, as a requester, go to the self-service portal and view the status of our requests. So you saw after Caitlin submitted it that he was able to see his requests in the portal. It was currently in a new state. We'll see in a minute here if we refresh, you'll see that it's in progress. And as I was talking about earlier, we can also send out email notifications notifying people about the progress, failure, or completion of these requests that people are requesting. And we can also format these notifications using HTML and provide a lot of details to them about the request by passing properties of the request into the notification email that goes out to them. Okay, so this is kind of the last couple steps here. So I'm going to do a demo of how we're going to invoke and monitor our... That's right. Yeah. Well, at least it came back. All right. So let's just start out from the context of the requester. They go to the self-service portal and they can refresh their view periodically and check on the status of their requests. So at this point, the requester could go in. They could see that this request is now in progress. They can see that there's a review activity to approve the request, which is currently in progress, and then actually creating the virtual machine is in a pending status. And the user can view the action log here, and they can also provide additional inputs. So this is how we do kind of the back and forth communication between the IT team that's fulfilling this request and the requester. They can also attach files and so on. So let's go now to the the service manager console and look at what this looks like from the perspective of somebody that's fulfilling the request. So they would be working inside of the work items workspace here and looking at the requests that are here. So here's the request that came in. And what we'll notice is that there's a bunch of fields that are filled out on this form. Things like the title, the urgency, the priority, the source, etc. Those are all here in the form, but the user didn't provide that information, right? That came because the template was defined to have those properties. So the resulting service request is a combination of the template values that are specified in the service request template plus the values that the user provides when they make the request on the service catalog. Now, if we go over here to the Activities tab, we can see that there's a review activity here. And I'm going to first just open this up, and we'll go ahead and approve this service request. Okay, and we'll just submit that to the database. So because there's only one reviewer in this case, the voting logic will be evaluated, and this review activity will have its status changed from in progress to completed. While we're waiting on that, let's go over here and look at the runbook activity work item. So the runbook activity work item, if we go over here to the runbook tab, you can see that the value that the user provided for what they wanted to name their virtual machine was passed into this VM name input parameter. So that's captured there now. And now, when this activity changes its status to be in progress, we're going to take that value and we're going to pass it into the initialized data activity on the Orchestrator runbook so that that VM name now becomes a part of the data bus in the Orchestrator runbook and can be used to actually name the virtual machine when we call out to Virtual Machine Manager. And we're also passing the runbook activity ID GUID for this runbook activity work item. And that's how the Orchestrator runbook knows which context to start from. If you remember, the first activity that's defined in this runbook is to take the runbook activity GUID and go and get the virtual machine template that's related to it. So if we go over to the runbook activity work item here, we can see that over here on the Related Items tab, we now have two objects which are related to this runbook activity: the virtual machine template that the user selected and the cloud that the user selected. And so now, because we have the runbook activity GUID for this runbook, we can go and, inside of Orchestrator, go and get the virtual machine template that's related to this runbook activity and get the cloud that's related to it, and then use that in our activity that creates the virtual machine. So let's go ahead and refresh the status of this. And you'll see that the status of this review activity has changed to completed, and the runbook activity status has changed to in progress. So at this point now, Service Manager is calling out to Orchestrator and triggering the runbook. And if we click on View Most Recent Job here, this is where we use that web console URL that we configured in the Orchestrator connector. And we'll actually pop out to the Orchestrator web console, and it'll take us in context to the Create VM from Template runbook. And we can then see the status. So we've got a job here which is in progress. We can view the instances of that and drill into the details. And we can see that we've gone and gotten the VM template, we've gotten the cloud, and we're now in process of creating VM from template. And if we flip over now to the Virtual Machine Manager UI, we should see here that we have a new MMS demo VM that's being provisioned. Awesome. All right, so since that actually worked, I'll let you in on a little secret. Our demo environment, let's say it had a few issues. So we actually rebuilt not only this entire demo, but our entire demo for our next session we're doing right after this. We built all of that this morning in a few hours. So it's pretty cool to go from, I mean, really nothing. You know, we provisioned a new set of virtual machines that provides the demo environment for us, and then we built the whole thing for our session and the session after us in just a few hours. It's pretty cool to kind of leverage the technology that we create to actually enable us to build these demos quickly. I mean, we've provisioned all this stuff onto a Hyper-V host, and we're able to quickly get this stuff running. So kudos to these guys for helping me out on that and getting this going. So. With that, let's just go back to the PowerPoint now, and we will kind of wrap this up. So today we showed you an example of how to automate service request fulfillment. The purpose was to show you how to do it. The scenario that we used was provision a virtual machine, but we actually don't want you to do the scenario that we just showed you. Okay, because what we want to do is we want to provide you the Cloud Services Process Management Pack. The Cloud Services Process Management Pack contains runbooks like what you saw today for scenarios like provisioning a VM, deprovisioning VM, provisioning additional capacity on the virtual machine manager, and a lot of other scenarios. It also provides views in the Service Manager console so that you can view objects that are synced over from the VMM and Ops Manager connector, things like virtual machines, VM templates, services, et cetera. And it also provides service catalog content. So it provides things like request offering, service request templates, service offerings, et cetera. And it also provides the automation activity work items in those templates to be able to call out to the Orchestrator runbooks that ship with it. So the idea is that you import the runbooks into Orchestrator, you import the management pack into Service Manager, and you've got automated request fulfillment for your private cloud. Okay? And then from there, you can go and customize it. If you want to customize the runbooks, you can add in additional activities or whatever you want to do on that side. You can customize the service catalog content. You can tweak the request the service request templates and so on. But really, we want to give you a leg up so that for all these really common scenarios around private cloud infrastructure management, you don't need to start from scratch. Okay? So we released the Cloud Services Management Pack in RC form back in January. We got a lot of feedback on that. Thank you for those of you that provided that feedback to us. And we're actually making quite a few changes to it. We originally intended to release it with the general availability of System Center 2012, but because of this additional feedback we got, we're making a lot of improvements to that, and it will, it should come out next month. You know, never know what happens, but it should come out in May in RTM format. So I encourage you to watch for that, and then download it, import the runbooks into Orchestrator, MP into Service Manager, and tweak it from there. So just to kind of recap, today we saw how we can create standardized request offerings on the portal. People can go there and make these requests in a simple way using the self-service portal. We save ourselves time, we save ourselves errors, we automate things. This is a very powerful way to save your organization a lot of headache, a lot of time, a lot of money, and ultimately increase customer satisfaction because you're delivering it to them faster. They don't have to call people. It's simple. So this is a very powerful way to do things, and I really appreciate you guys coming out today to learn more about how to set this up, and I'm looking forward to seeing what it is that you guys do with this platform to enable automated self-service request fulfillment. So thank you very much for coming out today.